Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Miami-born, New York-based saxophonist and composer David Leon. We caught up with him about his new 2024 CD, Bird's Eye, that stands as a unique confluence of inspirations and experiences that came together to form a great album. Curious about his Cuban heritage, he began studying with the master percussionist Manly Pierre Lopez, the youngest member of a legendary family of rumberos. That was the beginning of an adventure, and we will cover all of this and so much more. Enjoy.
Well, again, it's great to meet you. Thank you for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we hop into your latest album and your life and music with Bird's Eye, I'd like to know, how did you get, now that, I mean, we're looking at the calendar, it's been 4 years since the pandemic began. As a musician, how did you survive that time period and how did it change you?
Wow. That is a great question. Well, I mean, before getting into Bird's Eye, the first thing I'll say is that actually Bird's Eye came as a result of the pandemic. I think it couldn't have happened without that period. And it's sort of related to everything else that was going on for me at the time. I think like everybody else, you know, we were suddenly thrown into a space where we didn't know what was going to happen just in the world to us with our own health, the city. I live in New York City and, you know, New York shut down, really shut down. Nothing was happening. And so I think during that time I was like, you know, I have to stay indoors and I have my people that I live with and I'm going to try to make the most of the time and just really dig into the things that I love because I don't know if I'll get this time again. And so right around that time I was exploring my, thinking about my family and my roots in Cuba. My family were immigrants that came in the 60s. And so I've always been curious about Cuban music and just more about kind of its history because I didn't really understand, you know, why people would leave and what would cause that. I mean, in a very obvious way I understood, but I just really wanted to know. So I started getting into all this, Cuban, history. And then with it, just some of the sounds, I started studying with the rumbero online because at that time also everything online came back. So I was actually studying percussion in my house for a few years online, and then eventually when things opened up I started going to Mexico to study with him. And so that music influenced everything that I was writing and thinking about at the time. And then right around that time I was also thinking about Bird's Eye, starting something like Bird's Eye, and so the two kind of came together. And all of a sudden, I had this, Cuban-influenced project with one Cuban and a Korean instrument and a drum set. Then working on all that, it just kind of, we found all these other things in it. And I think my whole kind of musical perspective, and even now, kind of changed because of this project in that time. You know, we really had time to sit and work through things because nothing else was happening. And we could take the time that we needed instead of kind of, you know, letting the world get in the way and making things go by faster, you know, sitting in the discomfort of things because we had time. A very long answer to a very short question.
No, and it's great that you kind of got into the album too. How overall does it feel to have this album out? I know that, you know, we've kind of been opened up for a little while now, but especially as a musician, this is kind of a document on that time. What's the overall visceral feeling of having this album out now?
I mean, it feels so good, of course. You know, you work on these things for so long, and, people kind of knew that it was happening a little bit, but it's really meaningful to have it out now where people can hear the whole thing and offer their experiences with it. It seems like it's being very, very well received, which is great, and, you know, yeah, just, I think it gives the music new life, you know, and that gives me life, validation, yeah.
For sure. So what are you ultimately hoping the listener gets from this album?
I don't know. I think I hope more than that they get a specific experience, that they, like, are engaged with it enough to have to think about what it might be. Because I don't think that there's anything like what this project is really in the world in terms of maybe a confluence of influences, like Korean traditional music, which Doyen brought and taught us about, and then also this Cuban influence that I brought to the band, and then all of us kind of coming from this more improviserly open place. I feel like what we were able to make was a result of like many, many hours of collaboration and talking about things. And so if people read about it, maybe they would think like, wow, how cool is it that actually you can get people together from around, and with enough time and patience and care, you can make something really cool and special. I think that's just like an anthem that the world needs in that way. But I also hope that through the sound, you get a little bit of that thinking like, wow, how did they make this? But then also, I think there's a lot of kind of, I don't know, dissonance within the music, a lot of juxtaposition, a lot of things that don't make total sense, things that are trying to fit together and finding their way in a good way, not like they didn't think this through, but more like they thought it through and it still doesn't quite work, but like, what about it is it? And if I think about it, why do I feel that and what does it bring up in me, sort of a feeling. So yeah, I just hope that that people engage with it in kind of a meaningful way and find something for themselves.
So you've mentioned the Cuban roots and growing up in Miami, all of those early years. But what really brought you into not only being a musician, but into jazz? How did all of that get kind of fostered into growing into who you are as a musician today?
Well, so my uncle is really the only other musician in the family. I used to say that I was the only artist in the family, but I realized that I don't think that's actually totally true. Although my family wouldn't call themselves artists, I think my parents, for example, are very crafty people. My dad has a lot of hobbies and he kind of makes things out of wood, and my mom quilts a lot of things. My uncle plays music, and my grandparents are all great cooks. I think that there's always been art in my family. And so I think that I caught some of that spirit and wanted to do something creative for myself. I mentioned my uncle because when I was growing up, he would sit down with me at different drums. He was a collector of musical instruments, and he had all these kind of percussion instruments from around the world where he would travel for his job. And so he would bring back the instruments. We would sit down and play them with a recording from that place, like a CD or whatever. And so I kind of got imbued with some of these rhythms early on. And then I think I was attracted to music that way. So I started playing piano when I was, seven years old, at the church that I went to at the time. The choir director was also a piano teacher, an amazing pianist, who studied in Cuba. And piano led me to saxophone. There was this amazing saxophone player in Miami called Joe Donato, who was around for a long time, and I heard him play and was totally knocked out. I was like, I got to do whatever that thing is. And so, yeah, saxophone after that. And then I spent some time with Ira Sullivan, who's a jazz legend, great jazz master, now passed, but he lived in Miami for, I don't know, the last 50 years of his life or something like that, and was really influential for the community. And I feel like he was an amazing straight-ahead player. And in that was such a free spirit with just a huge kind of an unusually large willingness to go into the unknown with people. You know, he would call tunes that were way too fast in keys they'd never played, just start playing stuff and kind of like, I don't know, you know, like a bull in a china shop a little bit on the bandstand with everybody else. Just like, we're going to play this. Come on, let's go. Kind of a feeling. And so I feel like I really got that from him, and with that feeling just kind of kept going with it. Ended up, you know, listening to more contemporary music and music with improvisers and free improvisation, free jazz. I just love the feeling of that, the kind of the like, let's all dive in and see what happens feeling. And also the like, what if we try that really extreme idea? What if we play this thing too fast? What happens then, you know? Or what if we play it too slow? Like, does it bring out different things? Does it make us think about the melody different or whatever? So,
you know, the one thing that's always captivated me is whenever I speak to anybody that has Cuban roots, there's such an infectious nature culture and music such a big part of the Cuban fabric? Is that something that's just kind of been passed down through the lineage of families? How does that work, the Cuban roots, in your excitement for music and your overall zeal for culture? How does that work?
I think that's certainly right. I mean, so I was born in Miami, and I wasn't born on the island, but Miami is a little bit of an anomaly, I think, in the United States, a very big anomaly in the United States, and that it doesn't really feel like the U.S. It feels more like, I mean, it feels a lot like Cuba now that I've been there. It feels a lot like that, but it also feels like kind of some places in South America. It's a little bit transitional. It's kind of a hodgepodge of all these different cultures. And so already being from Miami, I feel like I got a lot of this thing that you're speaking to, kind of music just kind of being everywhere. I mean, family parties maybe being the most obvious, but you're walking down the street and it's playing out of cars, and it's, radio stations are on, everybody's got radios on and stuff. There's just a lot of sound that happens in Miami, I think, and a lot of music that happens in Miami. And I think that one of the things that was maybe most, I don't know, interesting or telling for me to learn about myself when I was trying to learn this music for the first time 5 years ago, let's say, and when I say learning the music, I mean like actually learning to play it and not just feeling it kind of innately, you know, like I knew that the clave existed, but I didn't really know how it should fit into things and how to play it with the right feeling and how to hold one, you know. One of the things that was the most interesting for me to pick up on was that I was having trouble playing the music, not because I didn't understand the rhythms or because I didn't understand the way that they fit together, but that there was some kind of an indelible feeling about the way that it is played when it's played well that also connects to the way that the people are, this kind of like super forward, charged, like, I don't know, vivacious, vibrant kind of an energy that is like at once, you know, sharp and cutting and forward, but also very relaxed, very open to kind of changing and moving with the situation. If a beat moves a little bit, that's okay, you go with it, but at the same time, it's this very rigid thing where if it's not where it's supposed to be placed, it feels wrong, it feels bad. And there's kind of always this tension between the instruments where some are pulling and some are pushing, and you're both pulling and pushing against each other in such a way that you create kind of a locomotion forward. And that sounds way too technical maybe, but it's just kind of this mystical thing that I found super crazy. And I think that also really describes how we are, how Cubans are, how Hispanic folks are within themselves, within their own families. There's always this kind of push and pull against each other the way that, like, you might see it in, you know, siblings and things like that here. So I think they're connected is what I'm trying to get at.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. After being involved in this music for so long, if you think back, what was the first live jazz show you saw that blew you away?
The first live jazz show that I saw? This is a great question. I think it might have to be some of my heroes at the University of Miami. I was at the Young Musicians Camp at the University of Miami over the summer, and they had the faculty at the University of Miami playing a big band chart. And the big band chart, now I know it to be Groove Merchant by Thad Jones. And if you know that chart, it has a huge saxophone solo that is kind of the main bread and butter of the piece. And it just, they had the saxophone stand up for it, five saxophones playing crazy things, unspeakable things. And I think I might have been, I don't know, 10 at the time or something like that. Like before I played the saxophone, before I played jazz, I was still playing classical piano, and it was totally blown away. I was totally blown away. I was like, this sounds like it has classical piano harmony, but it's on these instruments, and there's this feeling. I don't know what to call it. Maybe swing, you know? I would say it was that show. That sticks out to me, and also maybe sticks out as part of the reason that I wanted to play saxophone. I was like, I hope I get to play that chart someday.
So also, too, you know, you've been at this for a long time. What do you like the best about being a professional musician? I mean, there's teaching, there's recording, there's playing live, there's all these aspects that go into it. But what ultimately is it that you like the best about it?
Well, I guess it's just the opportunity to make music for people that I don't know. I think that I like playing music a lot. I like writing music. I like, yeah, recording stuff, showing up to situations where I don't know what's going to happen, but I just have to find it and be within myself and the thing in the moment and make something. I think I feel most full when I get to play for audiences, when I get to play for public. And I like just feeling that energy of connecting with other people. And even if, we don't actually talk about the show or after the show, it's not like, if people don't come up or anything to the stage and talk to us or whatever, that's okay too. But just there's something about being in the room and sharing a moment together and knowing that I'm engaged, in putting on this experience for you and for us, and that they are engaged in taking it in and maybe taking a moment after a day at work, or getting recharged by like going full in and putting more energy in. There's just something about that energy exchange back and forth that I think is so beautiful and that we miss in our everyday lives a lot. I mean, you might get it in tiny ways at the grocery store when you cash out or something and you're talking to a cashier. But I feel like, especially in New York City now, it's like so many of us are just walking around with headphones on and looking down at our phones and just like not really engaging with the world around us, let alone the people around us. And so I think music is a really special moment to do that. And that always feels really cool. Yeah.
I love that answer. So at the end of the day, why do you love jazz?
I like that there's a moment. I like that within the what it can be, that it lets you find places that don't exist yet. I find it exciting that in this connecting thing that the musicians can create something new and figure it out. I think there's just like, it's a crazy awareness practice to be totally pulling something from within you while also seeing what everybody else is pulling from within them and all of you together working it out to make something collective. And I think the balance can always shift. Maybe you're contributing less and supporting somebody else's vision. Maybe you're the one at that time contributing a little more and somebody else is supporting your vision. And then there's places where you're all kind of this push and pull thing that I was talking about with Cuban music, where you're all pushing and pulling each other at the same time. And that tension, that dissonance can create these really evocative spaces, I think. And I think jazz does that better than a lot of other musics do.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if you could get into a time machine and go back in time and see any live jazz show ever with your own eyes, where are you going? What would you love to see?
I think the first answer that comes to my mind is maybe a John Coltrane and Eric Dolphy together at the Vanguard. There's this recording that I've listened to that I think was in 1962. I just love that for so many reasons. I mean, I think that those two in particular are two of my favorite horn players, and they're playing together in this exploratory setting is incredible. Also at the Vanguard in 1962, I've been to the Village Vanguard now, but I just wonder what it was like in the 60s, when it was, I think, maybe still a comedy club at that point sometimes. And I would just love to feel that energy in the room. I guess I'm going to give you three answers because I can't give you just one.
Sure.
That's one. I think I would have loved to be anywhere that Charlie Parker was in a small club. Like, not when he was playing bigger stages, but what was it like to see him from 5 feet away, and what was everybody else in the room doing at the time? Because I think I would be freaking out. I think I'd be probably dancing my butt off and just in awe. I mean, and I've heard that people were just stupefied at how Charlie Parker could play this way. I'd love to see that. And then I think another thing that I'd love to see is maybe seeing Johnny Hodges of the Duke Ellington Orchestra. I just love the way that he plays, everything, but his ballad playing has always really struck me, and just his ability to project over a full big band with just one saxophone, I would love to feel, to hear what that sounds like and to feel those vibrations, just his, how does one a saxophone vibrate enough to cut over a big band? I don't know. I don't understand it really. and that just seems like magic to me. So I'd love to see those three, but I guess if I could only see one, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The reason why I asked that question is I'm coming from Kansas City, and I've been down to 18 and Vine enough, and I know that all of those old ghosts of jazz past are just bumping into each other, and that's where Bird started. So part of it is that kind of mystique of that time. So it's funny you bring up Bird and just being in a intimate situation to see that happen in front of your eyes. That would be something else. So at the end of the day, everyone out there, David, has a perception of you, family, friends, fans, but you ultimately are in control. You run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Well, I think I'm changing. And I think I'm always asking myself that question. I think right now, I think I'm someone who is sensitive and hoping to come to every situation in a way that uplifts the people around me, but that also is not afraid to be just me. And I think that I can be pretty silly. I think that I can be pretty cutting. I think that there's kind of a range of myself that I like to, you know, play with. And I just hope that I think that the version of myself that I am now is trying to make sure that David shows up all the time and doesn't think about it too much.
Beautiful. So the brand new album is Bird's Eye, and I'm wondering how can people pick this up in the proper physical fashion if they want, and to catch you live if they need to, or anything else. What's the good business?
So the record is called Bird's Eye. It's out on Pyroclastic Records, which means you can find it on Bandcamp.com at the Pyroclastic Records homepage. That's probably the best way, and I know that comes right from the record label. I believe it's on Amazon and other places, but if they look up my name, David Leon Bird's Eye, that's where you can get it easiest. It is, of course, also on Spotify and Apple Music and all these places. And if you wanted to catch me live, I'm playing a lot in New York. You can look up davidleonsmusic.com, and I have a whole events page where I'm very meticulous about where all my stuff is in case people are curious. So.
Beautiful. David, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for talking about the album, your world of music. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Cuba, Miami, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to David for his time, energy, and story. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends. Neon Jazz.